the second hour of the Terry Maxwell Show. It's on your radio, AM 1560, FM 97.7, and for real America and the rest of the world, it's KNZR.com. And now, here's the host of the show, Terry Maxwell.
Okay, everybody, we've got a rip-roaring second hour today. I have been looking forward to this ever since Lugnut Larry kind of put it across my desk. We're going to be talking with a gentleman named Steve Snyder. Now, he is the president of the 306th Bomb Group Historical Association and author of the book Shot Down, the true story of pilot Howard Snyder and the crew of the B-17 Susan Ruth. It's obviously set in World War II. It's a true story of Steve's dad, who was the pilot of that B-17 called Susan Ruth. And it involves a lot of intrigue. It's a story of the men who manned this aircraft and what led them up to the day that they were in the air and shot down and what happened afterwards. And so it's with my great pleasure I welcome Steve to my program. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great, Terry. Thank you very much.
Well, it's an honor to have you on the program. Thank you for your father's service. We are all indebted to him and to the men on his B-17 that didn't come back.
Well, they were the greatest generation, just not my dad and his crew, but really all the men in the 8th Air Force and all those who served in World War II.
Your book has gotten several, like 20 different awards, and it's because of the way that you have, I think, put the book together. Explain to people what you hope that they can get out of this book, and why it's won so many awards, why it is so compelling to people to read this book. Is it a better understanding of what World War II was all about?
Oh, that's a very good question. That's a big question. I'll try to answer it as best as I can. You know, it's 75 years ago World War II ended, and that's fading in people's memory, and we just can't let that happen. The sacrifice of those guys who went off to fight for freedom just can never be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, I'm actually past president. I'm still on the board of directors of the 306 Bomb Group Historical Association. That was the bomb group my dad was in.
Right.
It was one of 40 in the 8th Air Force. And it's our mission, and really it's my mission in life now, to remember the air war over Europe, to honor the men who fought it, and to educate the public about it, especially the younger generations, because they really don't have much relationship to that war. You know, a lot of the younger generations never knew anyone who fought in the war,
right?
Like baby boomers like myself.
Well, at one point there was, 10,000 World War II veterans that were dying every day, and that number is vastly reduced because most of the World War II veterans have succumbed to other things, maybe not to the war, but to just the process of living. And from what I understand in your book, you really delve deeply into the lives of each one of the individuals that's on this plane, don't you?
Yes, really the book's kind of two books in one. One's the story of my dad and his crew, and what happened to each member of the crew. It's just not about my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also about all the courageous Belgian people that risked their lives trying to help them. And the story of all that is completely based on first-hand testimony by the people who were involved in the events that took place. And then what I added, which is kind of the second part or the other part of the book, was just a lot of historical information and anecdotes about and surrounding the war to put it into context. So the story itself of my dad and his crew, I mean, even though it's all based on fact, reads like a novel. It's just incredible. And then, you know, the part I added is kind of like a history of the air war over Europe, World War II in general.
Well, I remember the first time I read D-Day, And of course, they ended up making that into a movie. The book was much better than the movie. It seems to me that your book is written kind of in the same vein, in that the process by which you introduce your characters is the process by which you then put them through or put them into the position that they held and what happened to them during the quote battle.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people who read the book make the comment that it should be made into a movie. I think it actually would be better as a miniseries because there's so much involved. It'd be pretty hard to fit it into a two-hour or time slot.
Yeah, like Band of Brothers.
I do, you know, build up to the day the plane was shot down, and then the second half of the book is all about what happened afterwards.
Yeah, kind of like Band of Brothers. It was
exactly.
Which was quite a series. I mean, I love sitting down binging on that because it's fascinating to see the process of how America started and ended in that war in Europe. Now, set the stage for this flight that ultimately ends up with your father behind German lines.
Okay, it was on February 8th of 1944. A mission to Frankfurt, Germany. Mm-hmm. My dad's plane, his B-17, dropped their bomb successfully, but their bomb bay doors got hit by anti-aircraft fire, German anti-aircraft fire called FLAC.
Mm-hmm.
FLAC was the abbreviation for the German word for aircraft defense cannon. And they couldn't get their bomb bay doors back up, and as a result, they caused the drag in the plane. The plane started losing airspeed, and it fell behind the other bombers heading back to England to their bases. And they were singled out by two German Focke-Wulf fighters who came in for the kill. And in the ensuing air battle, the Susan Ruth, which was named after my oldest sister,
oh, no
who was
kidding.
1 year old at the time my dad went overseas.
Oh, how funny.
Was shot down. Two of the crew, a B-17 had a 10-man crew.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the crew were killed in the plane, and the other eight bailed out successfully. And then the book goes into detail about what happened to each one of those eight men. After my dad bailed out, he was missing in action for 7 months, but he evaded capture and eventually got back to his base in England.
So he must have bailed out in an area that there was not a plethora of German soldiers.
Well, actually, he did. Belgium was occupied by the Nazis at that time.
Uh-huh.
After he bailed out, he came down into some trees and some woods. His parachute got hung up in the trees, and he was dangling 20 feet off the ground and couldn't get down. But fortunately for him, a couple young Belgian men, Henri Franken and Raymond Durvin, came to his rescue before the Germans could get to him. This occurred early afternoon. They told my dad to stay put and hide, because they thought it was too dangerous to try to move him
mm-hmm.
during the daylight with those German patrols combing the area. So that night they came back and got him and then took him to the Durvan farmhouse where he stayed only one night because they thought it was too dangerous for him to stay there any longer than that with those German patrols in the area.
So how far does that put him away from now? The Americans had they landed in for D-Day at that point? Let's see.
No,
they hadn't
shot
landed
down on February 8th.
Yeah,
and D-Day wasn't until June 6th.
June 6th, right? So after the D-Day invasion, then he was able to get back to the American lines or the Allied lines.
Well, actually, it was in September. After he was bailed out, a Belgian customs officer came and got him the second night and took him to another safer location. And after that, he was moved from place to place to place.
Mm-hmm.
How long he stayed in any given place depended on how brave the people were who lived there and how dangerous the Belgium underground thought it was for him to stay there. He might spend one night at one location or maybe 6 weeks at another location. And the people who hit my dad and his and any down airman for that matter were unbelievably brave people, because if the German secret police, the Gestapo, found out about it, they would be arrested, tortured, and either shot or sent to concentration camps. And some of the people who helped my dad and other members of his crew did meet that fate.
The other people that were in the airplane at the time, they eight of the ten were able to come down into the enemy area. Were any of them taken out almost immediately, or was this just a group of eight guys who were not able to stick together because it would have been difficult? I mean, I think that they would have probably been a bigger target if they stick together as opposed to coming down and dispersing.
You are correct. Of the eight that bailed out, three of them were captured immediately by the Germans. Mm-hmm. And became prisoners of war. Two of those men, though, were so seriously injured that they were repatriated back to the U.S. before the war ended.
Mm.
And then the third man, Roy Hulbert, he spent the remainder of the war as a POW. My dad evaded capture, and the tail gunner, Bill Schlenker, evaded capture as well, although they weren't together at all and knew nothing about each other.
Wow.
And then the three other men, they were hidden by some Belgian people, and eventually they met up with five other downed U.S. airmen and were hiding in the woods near Chimay, Belgium, which is just north of the French border.
Mm-hmm.
But the Belgium collaborator ratted them out to the Germans, and they were captured, and all eight of the men were interrogated and then shot.
Wow. Wow. That's awful.
Yeah.
That's awful. We've got to take a break. Have you got a little bit more time for us, Steve?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We could go on for quite a while about this.
Okay, yeah, and I'm sure we can. Steve, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about what your motivation to write this book was, how long it took you, and things like that. Then we also want to give people an idea of what they're gonna find if they do get this book. I know you've got like 200 quality time period photographs in this
exactly.
book, and I think that's important for people to keep in mind, because I got two youngsters, a 13 and an 11-year-old, and I think that this is something that would be really, really good to get and let them know, because as you say, we cannot let any generation forget what it was like during World War II and what they were fighting for. So we'll be right back. This is the Terry Maxwell Show here on KNZR, AM 1560 and FM 97.7.
AM 1560 and FM 97.7, KNZR.
First thing I remember, I was lying in my bed. Couldn't have been no more than one or two.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Hey, we are talking with Steve Snyder. He is the past president of the 306th Bomb Group Historical Association and author of the book called Shot Down. This is a highly regarded book, many awards that it has won. Shot Down is the story, true story of pilot Howard Snyder and the crew of the B-17 Susan Ruth. We have learned that that Susan Ruth came from the eldest daughter of your father. That
correct.
That was his daughter. I don't think the picture in the plane, though, is that's probably not her, huh?
No, the picture you're referring to is the crew picture that my dad
right.
and his crew took when they first got to England, but that was a different B-17.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't my dad's plane.
Got it. So tell me, Steve, I'm sure you grew up with this history from your dad. When was the time that you finally decided, okay, I've got to write this story? And then how long from that point to actually getting all the interviews and all the information that you wanted that you were able to get this book out?
Okay, well, growing up, I knew the basics of my dad's World War II history, but it wasn't until I retired in 2009 that I really had time to delve into my dad's war history in more detail. And my parents had kept a lot of material from the war years, and there were two items that were really significant. One was a diary that my dad wrote while he was missing in action about his plane being shot down, which is absolutely riveting, which is in the book. And the other, all the letters that my dad wrote to my mother while he was stationed in England before his plane was shot down. And reading those letters was absolutely fascinating, and I became fascinated with the story of my dad and his crew. It became my passion. And I started doing all this research, and 3 years into my research, I just came to the conclusion that the story of my dad and his crew was so unique and so compelling that it needed to be told, people needed to know about it, so I decided to write a book.
That's fantastic.
From the time I started my research to the time the book was published was 4.5 years.
Now, how many interviews did you have to conduct in order to come up with enough confidence in the materials that you're putting together that you're telling the true story?
Oh, I was so fortunate to have so many resources, unlike most people that know very little about their World War II vet. You know, my dad was still alive, and then other five of the crew made it back home, five of them did not. Testimony from other members of the crew, declassified military documents, war crimes reports, and I probably wouldn't have written the book, though, if it wasn't for two Belgium gentlemen, Dr. Paul Delahaye and Jacques Lalot, who were young boys during the war and greatly affected by it. They became local historians later in life, and they interviewed all these Belgian people and members of the underground about events that took place involving my dad and his crew, and they gave me unbelievably detailed information that's in the book that would have been lost forever without their dedicated research. And then the most surprising thing is that I found the German Luftwaffe pilot that shot down my dad's plane.
Oh, I read
and interviewed
that.
Him for the book.
That has to be fascinating to have actually interviewed the pilot from the Luftwaffe that shot your dad down. Now, what did he speak English, or did you have to have an interpreter?
Well, fortunately for me, he became a translator after the war, so he speaks perfect English.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
He gave me some wonderful insight that's in the about what it was like to go up against the Air Force that's in the book. And actually, he's the only person in the shot down story that's still living. His name is Hans Berger. He lives in Munich, Germany. I've been over there a couple times to meet him.
To München?
96 years old, and we became good friends.
I know that there are others that have had the same story about in the Pacific Theater, where there was someone who shot somebody down, or they had an encounter, and then years and years later they come back and they develop a friendship and a kindred spirit, because while they were all over there fighting, they certainly were. We're just on the wrong sides of history for the Germans, and their leadership was something that got this whole world totally messed up.
Absolutely, yeah. Hans was pretty much just like the U.S. Airman. He was a young guy, 20 years old, fighting for his country, trying to do a job and trying to stay alive. Actually, the gunners on my dad's plane shot Hans down at the same time. They actually shot each other down.
And that's got to be another compelling part of that story. Now, do you tell part of Hans's story through this whole laying out of the shooting down of your dad's plane?
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of information from my interviews with Hans that's in the book too. You mentioned over 200 time period photographs in the book, so the reader can visualize everything that they're reading about. And also, there's lots of excerpts from letters from my dad, other members of the crew, family members, wives or mothers that really make it personal.
How has writing this book changed your life?
Oh, it's completely changed my life. After I retired, I was just a normal retiree taking it easy. Sleeping in, taking naps, reading books. And now it's basically, even though I retired, I'm working full time again. I go all over the United States signing copies of my book. I do a lot of speaking to all sorts of organizations all around the country, although that's been totally curtailed this year.
I'd have to guess so.
I spend hours every day on social media promoting the book. So it's changed my life.
Well, and I see here that if somebody is interested in getting a book, they can go on to Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, in IndieBound, and you will actually personally autograph a hardcover covered book. And I can't imagine anybody buying anything but a hardcover book, because I think that the 200 time period photographs would be invaluable for people to look at. You can write a story, but when it's accompanied with pictures that demonstrate and give someone that visual input that's necessary for you to embrace the story more, I think is really important.
Oh, absolutely. And many of the pictures were taken by Belgian people in 1944 during the war, just unbelievable pictures that either sent back to my dad after the war from Belgian people who helped him, or sent to me by Jacques Lalot and Dr. Paul Delahaye.
So Steve, what was, as you're doing your research and everything, and you're learning these different stories of each one of these individuals and what they went through and how they either did or didn't make it back, was there one particular vignette, you know, one particular story that besides your dad's, that you thought that if somebody's going to pick this up, that they really want to pay attention to?
Well, I think there were basically two. One I alluded to earlier is just how courageous those Belgian people were, mm-hmm. who risked their lives and those of their family and friends to help these downed airmen. There's really haven't been hardly any books written about that. You know, the books have been written about the air war and, you know, fighting in the sky, but not about, you know, what happens on the ground. So that's something that's really unique. And then after my dad was hidden for several months, he got tired of hiding. Word came that the Allies had landed at Normandy on June 6th, and he decided to get back in the fight rather than just stay hidden and mm-hmm. wait for the U.S. armies to come up through France after D-Day. He joined the French resistance and started sabotaging German convoys, which was an unbelievably brave and courageous thing to do. Not only could he have died fighting against the Germans, but mm-hmm. if the Germans had captured him, he would have been shot on the spot as a terrorist. So I don't know if I could have done that, and I don't know how many other people, you know, would have had the courage to do that.
Did you look at your dad in a different light after that?
Oh, definitely. You know, my dad and I had a great relationship. I've always, you know, looked up to him and loved him dearly. My two older sisters, actually my other sister was born while he was missing in action mm-hmm. in 1944, so that was really tough on my mother. But my sisters and I always kind of compared my dad to John Wayne. He was 6'3", you know, he was uh-huh. a big guy, no-nonsense guy, believed in discipline. So I always had admired my dad, but just learning more of this story and, the commitment he had to his country to go back and fight the Germans and risk his life, you know, not only flying bombing missions over occupied Europe and Germany, but to then fight on the ground against the Germans until the U.S. armies came up and liberated Belgium, and then he got back to England.
So, Steve, the number one question in my mind is then, when your dad came home from the wars, what did he do for a living?
Well, he did a lot of different things after he came back, he became a B-17 instructor, and then after the war ended, he became a air traffic controller for a while, and mm-hmm. then he started a restaurant in Pasadena, California called Snyder's, and he was the chef and the owner of the restaurant for 10 years, and then he got into all these different sales jobs. Finally, working and selling and actually starting this company, or ran this company called Acro Stamp Machine Company that dispensed redemption stamps. If anyone listening is old enough to remember redemption stamps,
oh, yeah.
Blue Chip or S&H, you know.
Yep. We used to, my mom used to,
yeah. Machines that dispensed those from the grocery store or a gas station.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, it's always interesting to hear the stories of what happened to our brave men after World War II, and what what they faced coming home and what they ended up doing with their lives. Sounds like your dad had a fruitful and adventurous life. And you know, Steve, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being on this program today and how much I appreciate you writing this book. It's one that I think is going to be valuable. Again, everyone, you can go on to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the IndieBound. You can have, if you would like a personally autographed copy of the hardcover book, you can order it that way, and Steve will and you just let him know that you heard this on the Terry Maxwell Show, and he'll probably, you know, let you know that he appreciates you listening to my program too.
Absolutely. Yeah, and my website is stevesnyderauthor.com, Snyder, S-N-Y-D-E-R. And there's a lot of information about the war itself, World War II, the air war. Just the website's just not about the book. There's a lot of historical and research information that
I'm looking at together. It is extremely well put together. It's extremely well. It's just an education to go onto his website and look at all the different things that he has on here. So I urge anybody to do that. Steve, thank you again for being on the program.
Thank you, Terry. I appreciate it very much. I've enjoyed it greatly.
Excellent.